Our Bible reading today is from Nehemiah chapter 6, reading verses 1 to 16. Further opposition to the rebuilding. When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gates. Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message: Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messengers to them with this reply: I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his assistant to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter, in which was written, "It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it is true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king, and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report we'll get back to the king, so come, let us meet together." I sent him this reply: "Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head." They were all trying to frighten us, thinking, "Their hands will get too weak for the work, and it will not be completed." But I prayed, "Now strengthen my hands." One day, I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah, the son of Metabethel, who was shut in at his home. He said, "Let us meet in the house of God, inside the temple. And let us close the temple doors, because men are coming to kill you. By night, they are coming to kill you." But I said, "Should a man like me run away, or should someone like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go." I realized that God had not sent him, and that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him, and he had been hired to intimidate me, that I would commit a sin by doing this, and then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, my God, because of what they have done. Remember also Nodiah, and how she and the rest of the prophets have been trying to intimidate me." So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their confidence, because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. We give thanks for this reading from God's Word. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that you would strengthen us in the battle against evil, in the battles of life. And help us to be wise through your word. Help us to be alert through your Holy Spirit. Help us to be aware of your almighty presence reaching out to each one of us. And now teach us by your word, Lord. Amen. First of all, I want to thank both Cameo and Kidzone for their contributions this morning. It really was wonderful to see them all on screen there. And we so look forward to the day when we can all be together again here for worship and have contributions from those that we've seen. But our thanks to all of the leaders who have been involved there. On this Remembrance Sunday, we want to give thanks, as Donna mentioned, for the sacrifice of those in the past who fought for our freedom. And this Remembrance Day, there will be 15 million poppies, 15 million paper poppies that will be raised to remember, to give thanks, and to offer support to past and present service members of the Royal Navy, the British Army, the Royal Air Force, veterans, and their families. And this year, we've had to be a little bit more inventive about how we actually remember. And so one of the things that we did in our house, or rather my wife and granddaughter did, was they baked some buns and they'd sent away to the British Legion for some poppies to put on the top of them. Edible ones, I'm very glad to say. And so they were remembering that way, and all of the family have been enjoying those this weekend. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 reminds us that there is indeed a time for everything, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And we are indeed remembering that today. But in the life of Nehemiah, we see that there was a time for everything. As we look back, we see that as he stood before the king, he was silent. He didn't tell the king about the great problems that there were in Jerusalem or the disgrace of the people. And so he was silent. And then, as time went on, the king said, "Nehemiah, you're not yourself. You never look this downcast. What's wrong?" And there was a time to speak. And so he shared with the king his great sadness at the broken walls, at the disgrace of the people, of the temple not being the place of worship for God's people that it should be. And as he shared there, the king reached out to him and he gave him an army to protect him as he went on the journey. He gave him supplies for the people in Jerusalem and for the army. He showed love and he showed that he cared for Nehemiah and for the people so many miles away. And now Nehemiah, if you remember earlier in the story, Tobiah and Sanballat in particular had been quite sarcastic about the rebuildings of the walls and had been trying to put him off. And now there is a war going on between them because we've reached the point where he is a man under fire. And in response to this, there are three things that he does. Nehemiah maintains his focus. He's not going to be put off by deception. He stands firm in faith, and he's not going to be distracted from trusting in God. And he's a man who will finish well. He's almost there, but he needs to finish well. First of all, he had focus. And in Nehemiah 6 and verse 2, we read that it says this: "I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I'd not set the doors in the gates." And it is so true that whenever victory is in sight and there's just maybe a bit to go, that's the time that the enemy will attack most, when victory's in sight. And even before that, Nehemiah had been attacked 5 times. Tobiah and Sanballat had tried to distract him, sending letters and threats and the king was going to turn against him. And Nehemiah wouldn't go to the plain of Ono. He wouldn't go to the temple. He wouldn't give in to the intimidation. and he was attacked 5 times. He kept his focus. And it is so important at this time in our lives that we keep our focus. If you think back to Abraham, Abraham was facing a real battle. Would he obey God and give his son as a sacrifice to God? And God tested him, and Abraham remained true. He offered Isaac as a sacrifice. And he who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. In other words, Abraham trusted in the promises of God. He kept focused on what God had said to him. It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. So Abraham kept his focus. And he did this because he trusted God in everything. And he reasoned that God could even raise the dead. Hebrews 11 and verse 19. That God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did raise Isaac back from the dead and gave him back to Abraham. In our faith today, it's so important that focus remains, that we are looking on the cross, and that we're seeing that on the cross, Jesus paid the price. But then he also died and rose again, so as we too might rise again with him in the kingdom to come. Philippians chapter 2 tells us about the ultimate sacrifice and surrender of Jesus. And it says this: in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Jesus was a servant who God would then exalt to the highest place, as we read on in Philippians chapter 2, and gave him the throne that was above every other throne. Taking the nature of a servant, being prepared to go to the cross, and we too, as followers of Jesus, are to live and walk as Jesus did, to focus on him, to serve and to be obedient as he was obedient. And that can cost us quite a bit, but it's so important that we do that, and that we maintain our eyes on the ultimate goal of salvation through Christ and the hope of glory that is offered not just to us, but to the whole world through him. So we need to keep our focus to serve and to be obedient. And after keeping our focus, we are to have faith. Nehemiah was under fire, and while facing fire, he prayed these words: "Now strengthen my hands." And as he realized that the devil was attacking, that the deceivers were attacking, as he had this onslaught against him, he held out his hands and he prayed, "Lord, now strengthen my hands for the work that is ahead, because we're nearly there, and they want me to stop, they want me to be distracted, but I need you to strengthen my hands." And that is so important today for us as well, that in our walk with Christ, particularly when so many of the ways that we usually meet together aren't available to us, that we pray, "Lord, strengthen my hands today for walking with you, for serving you, for being obedient to you." And then Nehemiah said this: "Should a man like me run away, or should someone like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go." And that was a particular trick that they had put before Nehemiah, because Nehemiah was an ordinary man. If you remember at the start, he was a servant of the king. He wasn't a priest or anybody in the temple. And so at that time, it was God's law that only the priest should enter into the temple, to the holiest of holies. And in fact, it was King Uzziah who had disobeyed God and paid the price for it. And so Nehemiah wasn't going to be distracted or to do what was wrong. And that would have been a great danger. And so he said, I will not go into the temple. And that is a deceit of the devil. And in the same way, we need to avoid doing the things that God doesn't want us to do. We need to keep true to the path of faith and trust in Christ. And one of the ways that we can most do this is by putting on the full armor of faith. Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to ask you, have you put on the full armor of faith? The biblical writer J.I. Packer has commented on this passage in this way. And as I read this rather longer quote, just think about, have you put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the rest of it? Packer comments in this way. How necessary it is for a leader or a Christian to have a belt of truth buckled around the waist. The truth here being the revealed truth of God in the Scriptures generally, and in the gospel of Christ particularly. How important it is that a leader or a Christian should have the breastplate of righteousness in place. Righteousness, here signifying what Paul elsewhere calls good works, uprightness and integrity of life in covenant with God. How vital it is, too, that we should have feet fixed with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Readiness, here meaning maneuverability, the capacity to run, jump, adjust, and quickly change one's position, or else stand firm, poised, balanced, and ready to counterattack according to what the enemy's actions require. How crucial it is that we should be carrying and using the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. These arrows being thoughts that embody doubt, despair, unbelief, misbelief, self-pity, irresponsibility, bitterness against God, and malice against others. And we here are to stand up and take our stand by putting on those things and by having courage, as Packer has encouraged us there, to put on all of those qualities that God wants us to have on. Have we put on those things, including the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and most of all, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? Is the Holy Spirit in control of your life? Is He guiding you day by day? And do you make the Word of God the way that you follow each day? I encourage you to get back into the Word, to seek the Spirit, and to ask God for a fresh anointing on your lives. And Nehemiah was someone who kept up his courage, because it would have been so easy to run away. It would have been so easy to do what others said. It would have been so easy to give in. But he didn't do that. And in the same way, we need to think about these things, because we need to keep up our courage and refuse to run away, to hold fast to the truth. But then there's lots going on in life, and are we carrying burdens? Are we carrying worries? Are we carrying concerns that we shouldn't be? And that's really what the deceivers were trying to put upon Nehemiah. And he said, well, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to remain true. I'm going to rebuild these walls. I'm going to get these gates on. That is my purpose, my focus, my faith. And I will keep to that path. And so maybe we too need to lighten the load, to release those things that we shouldn't be concerned about, or those things that are taking us away from the truth. And then Nehemiah was also ready for what was next, because he was putting the gates on, and he was ready for the next adventure with God, the next stage of the rebuilding, the restoring of the temple, and the restoring of honor to the people of God. And so let's learn from that. Let's refuse to run away. Let's lighten the load. Let's get ready for what's next. And then in Nehemiah 6 and verse 15, we see how Nehemiah finished. He finished well. So the city wall was completed on the 25th day of the month of Elul. It was finished in 52 days. And this verse in particular has been an inspiration to me over the last year or so. And because he remained true to the task, and then he carried out the task in 52 days. And I'll maybe say more about that at the turn of the year, to think about what we can do in 52 days. And so he stayed true. He finished strong. And if we think about rebuilders, well, then they finish strong. And the greatest rebuilder, of course, was Jesus. And in Nehemiah 6, we read that when all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence, because they realized that this work had been done with the help of God. And as Nehemiah leant on God and got his help, so we too are to look to the greatest finisher of all, the Lord Jesus. And he too was tempted to turn from the way that led to the cross. The crowd jeered at him, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." And there's no doubt that Jesus could easily have called an army of angels and been delivered to the cross, from the cross. But he knew what God's calling was. He stayed true to that calling. And in John 19 and 30, we read, he said, "It is finished." He finished his mission on earth for our salvation, to pay the price for each one of us to be saved and to receive new life. Now, maybe you're here today, or maybe you're listening to this at home, and maybe you faced a hurdle along the way and you've fallen. And the Bible is full of that. We see it throughout the Old Testament. We see it in people like the Apostle Peter. We see it in the life of John Mark. And they came back and they were restored. They got up again. And Jesus offered them a new beginning. And he offers each of us a new beginning. He has outstretched arms to welcome back those who have fallen at hurdles, and to welcome them back, to begin again, to be filled with the Spirit, and to take the route that he has for them in life, the route of the way, the truth, and the life through Jesus Christ as Lord. And it's so important to seek those new beginnings. Do you need a new beginning today? Because it is never too late to come to Christ and to receive and begin that new beginning. Come to him today, because that's his greatest desire. And maybe some of us during this time of lockdown have become a bit careless in our relationship with Christ, a bit unfocused, a bit unsure, a bit off course, and we need that new beginning as well. Nehemiah, a man under fire. But a man under fire who was focused, who had faith, and who finished well. And we too, as believers in Christ, are called to those things. To be focused, to have faith, and to finish well. May you be blessed by the word of God in Nehemiah, by the armor of faith in Ephesians 6. May you be blessed by the whole word of God, and may you indeed be focused, have faith, and finish well. Let's pray. Lord God, as you rebuilt the temple through the work of your servant Nehemiah, build us up in faith. Come, Holy Spirit, and anoint lives afresh today with your presence and power and love. And give us a fresh passion for your word, the written and living word, Jesus Christ, everlasting love. In Christ's name, amen.